You have my permission to record this conversation if you would like to.
All right.
It might be interesting to you if you're able to do so. Are you able to do that?
Yes.
Okay, well, please do. Anyway.
What's your name?
Okay, my name is John Gary Peeler, P-E-E-L-E-R, like in potato.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I live at 4801 North Cedar Street, North Little Rock, Arkansas, 722, oh, let me look at my zip code, 72, well, I'll get it here in a minute, 721, well, 72116-6482. Okay, and my telephone number is area 501-758-1352.
Thank you, Glenn.
Okay, and recently, in the last, a few weeks ago, I was took into the FBI office and threatened and interrogated in Little Rock, and the reason I wasn't given a polygraph test.
Okay, just a minute, just a little slower.
I'd read your recent newsletter about another Pearl Harbor, and Tony Alamo is 100% correct. I volunteered and went undercover and worked undercover for the United States government for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Federal Bureau of a task force that was made of different agencies in 1988. Okay, and back then, the Klan was in Arkansas was getting to be a big thing, and they joined up with some Muslims, and they were getting ready to do some dirty work.
Can you hold on just a moment again?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Hold on just a moment.
Okay. So what happened? The Klan didn't have any money back then in 88. They were getting loan money and loan membership. So they joined up with some Muslim terrorists, and because they both hate the Jews and want to overthrow the United States government. You see what I'm saying? It made sense to them at the time, you know, because they hate Jews and want to overthrow the United States government. So I met with these leaders like Mr. Wilbur Hale, the High Phineas Priest, the Klan. To be a Phineas Priest, you have to murder two people in cold blood that they tell you to murder. I mean, it's something that you don't get very easily. You see what I'm saying? But anyway, I was undercover in these organizations and stuff. I had the best intentions in the world. I wanted to stop the black church burnings and to stop the Rayho Wa. Do you know what the Rayho Wa is?
No.
That's good. Okay, that means you don't know much about the Klan, because that means the racial and holy war. That's what they were wanting to start a racial and holy war to tear the country apart to where their white supremacy people could take over. So anyway, what I did, I had the best intentions in the world. But when I was with the ATF, with Bill Buford and Glenn Jordan and all these guys and Secret Service agents, Kenneth Edwards and these people, they forced me, they got ways of forcing people to do things, they forced me to target certain people that they didn't like. You know what I'm saying? Some of the people were bad people, some of the people in my position, you know, God is the only judge of what people really are, you know what I'm saying? But they had a targeted list. And one of the interesting things that you will find about the targeted list is Tony Alamo, ever since 1988, he's been on that list, to my knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Of the government list of things to do. In fact, I refuse, one of the reasons I had a falling out with the government is I refused to target, befriend, and entrap and frame Tony Alamo. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go up there, I wouldn't do it. I went up there one time, talked to a few of the people and stuff, and then I refused to go up. There were nice Christian people. I couldn't find no fault with them. You know what I'm saying? So I refused to target, befriend, or entrap any of these people from Arkansas. And I was talking to some of the people. I didn't go to the center. I talked to some people at a restaurant that were members of the Alamo Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Real nice people. But I told the government that I just like when I read Tony Alamo's his current newsletter that I've got here in the desk in front of me about another Pearl Harbor. That sent chills up and through my spine, because he is 100% correct. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the American people won't believe him, but he's 100% correct.
Right.
Because I watch the History Channel and study history. I'm working on a degree in history right now myself. I got a degree from the University of Arkansas, Little Rock, but I'm working on a master's degree in history. But anyway, the president and a lot of people knew about Pearl Harbor, but there were a lot of Germans in America. We didn't want to go to war against Germany. We'd go to war against Japan. So they knew that Pearl Harbor was going to happen, but hold on, I need you to drink.
Yeah.
It all tears me up, all this stuff, because it's so many people and so many deaths involved. Because, see, while I was undercover with these people, okay, the people that I was with, the Klan and these people, the Muslims and the Klan people I were with, they were planning to blow up the Oklahoma Federal Building and the World Trade Center. It was two of their main targets they had, according to all their Turner diaries and all their literature and all their stuff they put out. I helped them plan both of these things. You see, well, I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you the truth.
Right.
I helped them plan it, but the government swore to me they were going to stop it before the incident was executed. You see what I'm saying? I met Tim Tuttle 5 different times in Arkansas and went one time to Oklahoma Federal Building to check it out to see how much explosive info would be involved we would take to blow up the building. But I was under the impression that the government gave me that they were going to stop it before it happened. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, they didn't stop it, obviously. But you need to get another line.
That's okay.
Okay. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, but anyway, what happened is the government, see, we busted some of these people that were involved in stuff, but the government didn't think they might carry through on it and stuff. But what they did, they jumped in the ball game. They were about to do away with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms because of the Ruby Ridge thing and all this stuff and combine them with the FBI. They were doing away with a lot of CIA agent positions because the Cold War with Russia was, you know, gearing down. So anyway, all these agents were going to be out of trouble, out of jobs and stuff. So anyway, what they did, they knowingly allowed the Oklahoma thing to happen, and the reason they let it happen is because their budget went up 3 to 5 times, their number of agents went up 3 times. Right after it happened, Congress and the American people were ready to give them all the power and all the money they wanted and to keep the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms going. But anyway, the stuff I'm telling you about right now, anyway, before they executed Tim Tuttle, also known as Timothy James McVeigh, he told them that he knew that I was undercover with the feds and that I was more involved and knew more about the Oklahoma bombing than he did. So what he did, he got in touch, well, the BBC was not allowed to get in touch with him or talk to him, but that through his lawyers and stuff, he got in touch with them, gave them my address and phone number, and they called me up and asked permission and came down on my doorstep and did an interview with me about my involvement in the Oklahoma bombing. To my knowledge, it's only about a 30-minute special, and I'm only on it for a few minutes. But anyway, I told them all the people that they needed to talk to and so forth, and they went to talk to all these people, and they talked to them. And the name of the show on the BBC channel, the biggest channel in the world, Channel 4, was The Secret Rulers of the World, was the name of the production. I've got a copy. I'd like to share it with y'all sometime if I can get a copy of it made or something to send to you or something.
Right.
But right now, I want to send you a letter with some written information in it, and you have my permission to send any of your people down, talk to me, give me an interview. But let me tell you, I can prove for a fact that I'm ashamed of it, and I hated that it happened the way it did with my government involvement, but I can prove 100% that I was involved in the Oklahoma bombing, in the World Trade Center number 1 and number 2 attack. I wrote letters to President, I wrote a letter to Bush. Well, the first one, I wrote a letter 3 weeks before the Oklahoma bombing to the President to warn him about it, because I was afraid that it's going to go ahead and let it go through. But they went ahead and let it go through and happen anyway. But so what I did 3 months before the World Trade Center second attack, I wrote a letter to Mayor Giuliani and the President of the United States. And anyway, the FBI, that's one reason they interviewed me this last month and took me into their station. Well, they came to my house and threatened me and had me go down to the FBI headquarters in Little Rock and take a polygraph test about my involvement in the Oklahoma bombing, the World Trade Center 1 and 2 attacks. And, okay, another thing I was involved in was the Waco murders. Anyway, I was in Bill Buford's office at TCBY building in Little Rock, talking to him about the book of Revelation, the most misunderstood book of the Bible. And anyway, we were talking about it and so forth, and I volunteered to go to Waco to be on I didn't get to go and didn't go, thank God, but I volunteered to go to the Waco turkey shoot. They were taking the most ammunition, the most weapons they ever took in the United States to a bus, and that they did not plan to take David Koresh alive, they planned to kill him. This is before they went down there. And I talked to Bill Buford and Glenn Jordan and other agents in the office, and Bill Buford told me, I said, well, just because they say they're a Christian group, I said, you better be sure to watch your ass. Guess where he got shot at? He's the one that was upstairs in the video shooting down, and they're shooting up, and they're shooting 3 times in the rear end, once with a 7.62 X39 millimeter AK round, and he gets 2 bullets from a 5.56 millimeter a 223 round, you know, in the rear end, because they're shooting up and he's shooting down. He's got a black jacket and a ballistic helmet on. But, you know, they went down there to kill those people. They didn't go down there to arrest anyone. You see what I'm saying? And I can take a polygraph, do anything you want, and prove they did it. But I'm just telling you that they wanted me to frame Tony Alamo. And he's been on the list, to my knowledge, since 1988. I did not frame him. I did not even get involved with your organization. I've been told by everyone I talked to about your organization that it's a great organization. That's the reason I didn't do it. But because I didn't do that, and because I didn't do a few other things the government wanted me to do, they tried to frame me for murder, capital murder here in Arkansas. So what they did, they were unable to frame me for murder because I had been in a shootout on a deal that I did, and I had a bullet in my right lung and was in an auction tent time and date. They gave they didn't know, most of the agents didn't know that I'd been involved in this confrontation. So I was in a hospital in an auction tank at the time and date they gave the confrontation. So they were unable to frame me, so they framed my youngest son. He was a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps. Hold on, I need a drink.
Yeah.
They framed him for murder, capital murder. But anyway, he got life in prison without parole here in Arkansas. He's in the Bricky unit. There's no body, there's no weapon, there's no blood, there's no hair, there's no forensic evidence, and no eyewitness. Just some people that the government and the Klan got together and said to say that he said that he killed a person. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There was a missing person.
Mm-hmm.
There is zero evidence, and he's been down 7 years and doing life without prison. And, you know, I'm not blaming Tony Alamo. I refuse to target and frame Tony Alamo because I couldn't find, you know, the people that I did frame, they were at least bad people, you know what I'm saying, leaders of the Klan and
mm-hmm.
wanted to destroy the government and overthrow things and stuff. I mean, I'm sorry that I did it now for my sake and my son's sake and everybody's sake. But the deal is, at the time, I thought that I was helping the government out and getting the bad people. I didn't realize that the people I was working with were the really, really bad people. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think about the information I just gave you, your personal view?
Well, it's a tremendous exposing.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to relay all this information to Pastor Alamo.
To who?
To Pastor Alamo.
I would appreciate it very much, but look here.
I mean, immediately.
Look, I know, I appreciate that, but give him my name and number and tell him I'll be glad to submit something to your newsletter. I'll be glad to talk to you. I'll go on TV. But see, what it is, people don't realize in America.
You know what I'd like to do? With your number, I would like to call him and tell him, are you going to be available today?
Yeah, off and on. Yes, I'll
be. Because what you've told me, I do have on tape.
Okay, that's wonderful.
But I'd also like, if he can talk to you, that would be better.
I'll talk. What was your name?
My name is Joan.
Joan?
Joan. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, why am I hearing a little bad? I've been around too many explosions and stuff. Joan, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Joan, it's a pleasure talking to you, and you have my permission to share the information I just gave you with anybody you want to. But I'm saying, the news people here in Little Rock, I've talked to them, they know all about the things I'm telling you, but they refuse to, you know, the government gives them their sources of information, and they publish what the government tells them to publish, Joan. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And the deal is, people don't realize how, you know, Tony Alamo, after reading his newsletter, you know, it sends shockwaves, it literally sends shockwaves through my body because he is so, you know, so 100% correct. You know what I'm saying? Doing the analogy with Pearl Harbor just blew me away, you know what I'm saying, because I know that's 100% true, but I talk to people on a regular basis, and they refuse to believe it, you know, that the United States government could really murder innocent people and do all the things that they're currently doing in order to try to establish a one-world government. And I've got this copy of a tape. If I can get someone to make a copy of it, I'm going to drop you a letter in the mail, and Joan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to drop a letter in the mail, but like I said, share this with Tony Alamo, telling I'll talk to his newspaper people, I'll let him take photographs of me, I'll talk to him, I'll volunteer to take a polygraph test, I'll do anything he wants me to do to get the word out of what's really happening, because I know he's got to be God's man with all that he knows and the things
he's talking about. Most definitely God has shown him everything.
He really has.
Yes, he has.
Have you been with the ministry, Joan?
33 years.
Well, I believe that he, you know, I've read some of his newsletters and stuff, and some of them are better than others, but this one just blew me away, literally.
Right.
It really did, because, I mean, I'm just amazed, because see...
And there's another one coming.
I believe you, but Joan, most people don't have the guts to do what he's doing, because things happen to them like happens to me. I mean, my youngest son was an Eagle Scout, a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, squeaky clean. I mean, only had two traffic violations in his entire life, his only record he had. And he's been down 7 years in a bad Arkansas prison doing life without. A movie company from California came to one prison to do a movie about him. So the night before, they had permission there, so they moved him in another prison where they didn't have permission. You see what I'm saying? So they got him locked up in prison. They can kill him. They can do whatever they want to with him. Total control over him. And that's the leverage they're holding on me. He told me to not let that bother him because he don't, you know, he's a Christian person. He's willing to meet his maker and stuff. He said to go ahead and tell everybody in the world the information that I have and to get it out there, and maybe something will be done. But, I mean, it just totally amazed me that I wrote letters to Bush about the World Trade Center attack 3 months before it happened, and now the FBI is all, and the ATF's all tore up about it and upset because I'm telling people and writing letters to people and tell them that I warned Giuliani and that I warned the president 3 months before it happened, and they knowingly didn't stop it. But if you ever read, the KKK put out a book called The Turner Diaries, which is really terrible literature. But anyway, that's the way they get the government, is they steal an airplane and put a suitcase nuclear bomb on it and fly it in the World Trade Center in New York, is the way they get back at the government in the end of the book. You see what I'm saying? So the whole thing was written in the book before it was ever done. And then like the Oklahoma bombing, the governor of Oklahoma, a retired FBI agent, by the way, Keating, his brother wrote a book called The Great Jihad, which tells the whole story of the Oklahoma bombing. It was published three years before the bombing happened. It was published before the actual bombing.
Uh-huh.
It tells the whole story of the bombing, basically. And even has some of the names correct to some of the people that are charged with some of the things. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing how the government is totally in control and going to this one world government thing.
I need to put you in touch.
It's a pleasure talking to you. God bless you, and you have a pleasant day.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna put you in touch with Pastor Lalo right away.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Joan.
Okay, then. Praise the Lord. Bye.
Thank you.